soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on October 6, 2018. Absolutely astonishing and horrible thing is committed in the land. And this is what was prophesied by Jeremiah chapter 2, seen in verse 12 and following. The Lord said, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that it cannot hold water." This is such a terrible, horrible thing. It's actually a conspiracy that has gone on in the past and in the present and shall be in the future. And we're going to talk about what this horrible and astonishing thing is and how it's done, the way it's done, so that you can make sure you never participate in this, because this is a group of people that profess to know God, and indeed they are his enemies. Think about it. The source of life, likened to living waters, comes from God. And we can drink of this water freely. We can come to the Lord. We can receive all these life-giving things that come from his presence. Instruction, wisdom, salvation, deliverance, comfort, love, mercy, grace, kindness. This water. And Jesus said that he that drinks of this water will never thirst. Indeed, that Jesus is the very bread that comes down from heaven. He that comes unto him will never hunger, and he that believes will never thirst. But the terrible thing has happened, and a terrible thing continues to happen where people forsake the Lord and choose other cisterns for these things, going after man, going after a religious system that uses God for many things, but does not love God, does not have his word, does not have him as the Lord, does not have him as the master. In the prophet Isaiah, chapter 29, it talks about these things. Verse 10 through 13, listen to this. "For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, 'Read this, I pray you.' And he says, 'I cannot, for it is sealed.' And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, 'Read this, I pray you.' And he says, 'I am not learned.'" Now listen to this. This is Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, 'For as much as this people draws near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men.'" This is a very important chapter. It's quoted by Jesus. It's referred to by the apostles and servants of the Lord. Explains what causes blindness, or even the blind guides and the spiritual leaders are blind, and the people that sit under their influence are also blind. The blind guides, the blind leaders, and the blind people go into a ditch, not knowing at what they grope at, not knowing where they're going, not knowing what the dangers are, not knowing what's on the left or the right. They don't even know where they're going, and it's a judgment from the Lord. Because they talk about God, they honor him with the mouth, but They keep God at arm's distance. He's far from their heart. It's all hypocrisy. Playing a part, acting. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus talked about the traditions of men. And this is what the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus. Listen to this. Mark 7, verse 5. Why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That phrase, commandments of men, is four times in the New Testament, at the very least. Four times. And the Lord says, your worship is pointless, worthless, without results. That's what vain, useless means. You're worshiping me for nothing because you teach doctrines that are the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. And as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things, you do. This is a diabolical thing, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to see this. This is clearly taught by the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's clearly the instruction of the Spirit of God. If you're going to serve God acceptably, it must be through Jesus Christ. He is the way. And where Jesus got his doctrine was from the Father. No man taught Jesus his doctrine. Like Paul, when he met Jesus, the glorified Lord, he didn't sit with even apostles. He did not confer with flesh and blood. Neither was he taught it, nor did he receive it from man, but got it by revelation, illumination from the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. Praise the Lord. They lay aside the commandment of God so they can hold their tradition. Verse 9, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. It's being reiterated. It's being expressed clearly. It's being repeated. Look at these words. Listen to them. You lay aside to hold. You reject the command to keep your own tradition. The word tradition has to do with a transposing or something being delivered. And it's interesting because that's what the Lord said later in this chapter. Verse 13, Jesus said, you make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. How dangerous is it to reject God's commands? How serious is it to lay aside his commandments? You see, because you can't have the commandments of God and hold to them when you're also embracing the words of men, the commandments of men, the systems of religion. You make the word of God of no effect. And this in the Greek has to do with a lordship of, or the authority of the word. You're making void the word. You're disallowing its authority because you're accepting tradition of man that was delivered or transposed for your acceptance. This is what Paul were urged about in Galatians. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the marvelous grace of his son Jesus Christ for another gospel, which is not another. And in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul was saying that even the devil appears as an angel of light, and so do his ministers. And he was concerned that the people would tolerate, go along, accepting, bearing with, as in a true ecumenical spirit, seeking to be one with everybody, that every Tom, Dick, Harry, Mary, Martha, Sue, every wind of doctrine that comes down, tossed to and fro, what the effect is by this, where we are to be anchored, taught by the Lord. Everyone that is taught of the Lord will know of the doctrine That's what Jesus said. The doctrine comes from God, and he teaches it through the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Who are these people? Let's go to hear the testimony of Peter. Peter cited Psalm 118, verse 22, a couple times. One was in Acts chapter 4 when he was telling the Jews that they had crucified Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who indeed was the cornerstone, and it had been written so. But the predetermined counsel of God had allowed them to kill Jesus, but God has raised him up from the dead, whom you crucified. 1 Peter 2:4, to whom coming, referring to Jesus, as unto a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is referred to as a living stone of the spiritual building, a temple, a house, an assembly of the Lord that God builds. And yet he is chosen and he is precious and he is the very cornerstone. And we are to be also as living stones that God links and puts together, building up a spiritual house. This is the teaching of God. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Paul talked about this, and he used this in reference to people that stumble over Jesus. They stumble over faith. They stumble over being saved by grace through faith. They stumble at righteousness by faith and going about to establish their own righteousness. They work with their own hands and their own power and energies like Cain did, offering to God a sacrifice out of earth. And God had no respect for Cain or his offering. You ought to fear the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. A horrible thing is committed in the land. An astonishing thing. That people have forsaken God. And they go after broken cisterns that can't even contain water. There's no healing. There's no deliverance. There's no manifestation of his glory, his word, his power, his truth. You're never going to find Jesus in the things that these disobedient men to the word are building. And they are building. And God is building, and you're going to have to decide what building you're of. And if you're going to labor in the gospel, you better be careful what you build. You better be careful what you plant, because everything will be tried by the fire. It's 1 Corinthians 3. I marvel at this text. That Jesus, as a living stone, is chosen by God and precious. He's the honorable chief cornerstone. And yet the builders, what are they building? They're not building the same thing as God's building. They're building a counterfeit. They're building a knockoff. And what is a knockoff? It's a cheap imitation of the real thing for profit. This is what Jesus encountered when he came to his own, and his own received him not. He came speaking the very words of God, and they didn't have the word of God abiding in them, and they didn't relate. They could hear his speech, but they couldn't receive the logos, the concept, his message. They didn't have the love of God because they didn't receive the one that the Father had sent. But they had this elaborate temple. And goodly buildings, as one of the disciples said in Matthew 24. It's all about the appearance. In Matthew 21, let's go read this. This is Jesus encountered and quotes this text. Matthew 21, 42 and following. Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruit thereof. And whoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken. But on whomever it will fall, it will grind him to powder." And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. How about that? They actually understood the truth, what Jesus was saying, though they're typically blind as a bat. The oddity of this text is that the builders speak of God, but their hearts are far from God. They won't do his commandments with one finger. They monetize the things of God. They corrupt the things of God. They make their traditions, their doctrines, as commandments of men. They force people to reject the word of God to maintain their tradition, the things that are transposed, transfigured, transmitted by the elders, those that have exalted themselves over the mass, the people of God. And they're builders, and they're building. They're building brick and mortar. They're divvying up even the body of Christ, denominating them, creating names, incorporating, getting licenses from the secular government, becoming worldly, joining with others doing the same things, others that are teaching traditions. And the telltale signs are evident how they do not teach the difference between the holy and the profane. They do not put a difference between the clean and the unclean. And therefore, they're all steeped in the things of the world, things of the occult, things of idols. And there's no presence, no overwhelming glory, or the word of the Lord being spoken. They're not hearing from the Lord. It's a horrible, astonishing thing that goes on in the land, ladies and gentlemen. It's horrible. Here's what Jesus had to say to one of the assemblies that were in Asia. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. "And unto the angel of the assembly of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you might be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies." Now use that word assembly, because the word in Greek is ekklesia, which has to do with called out assembly. And the meaning of the English word church comes from a different Greek text, having a different meaning. It's a different construct. It represents a different system, interestingly. And the great martyr Tyndale that translated the English the scriptures into English fought for this truth. He ultimately was a martyr because the secular system working with the religious system forbade that because they wanted to create the old synagogue system of an exalted hierarchy over the people, contrary to the instruction of Jesus in Matthew 23, 4 through 10, where they would call men rabbi, which means great one, great teacher. And Jesus said, there's only one master, even Christ, and you are all brethren. And later in that text, he said, everyone that exalts himself will be abased. Everyone that abases themselves will be exalted. The greatest among you is the servant of all. And Jesus himself would wash the feet of his sheep. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, the builders build and it's a dead giveaway what they're building. And the key is when the word of the Lord comes, the instruction, the reproof, the correction, the rebuke, the instruction on the word of God about these things to turn from it. Like Jesus gave instructions to this assembly at Laodicea. If they can receive it and they can turn from whence they've been overcome, they will have forgiveness and cleansing and be delivered and have the true eternal word of God, the living waters from God, the true bread that's from God, and the true drink that's from God. But they're going to have to turn from the broken cisterns of religion and the idolatrous men that stand usurping the authority of Jesus Christ, loving the preeminence of man. These things are going on. They have gone on. They are going on, and they will continue to go on. And God is calling his people out unto him and to bear his reproach. I marvel about this assembly of Laodicea. The lukewarmness again. God's not in their heart. They keep God at a distance. They think they're rich because of material things, because they gain things of the world. And they don't even understand their true state before God, that they're fallen, that they're miserable, wretched, blind, naked. Ah, but they think they're clothed. They take God's word out of context and weave a garment. They trust in lying words that cannot heal or save or profit. And Jesus says, I counsel you to buy of me gold that's tried in the fire, that you may be rich and have white clothing, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And the Lord reminds us, as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. And he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Don't put it off. Get clean of this and start searching and seeking the Lord, listening to his voice. Receive the instruction and be obedient to it. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 1 Samuel 15. A lot of religion does a lot of sacrificing. They do a lot of praying. But in Proverbs, it says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Their prayer is an abomination. Their way is an abomination to the Lord. And the king that was named Saul, I'll read this from verse 11. 1 Samuel 15, 11. It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me. And he has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What does this mean, this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Because he was instructed to kill all those things, and even the king. And Saul said, They have been brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Pick and choose their obedience. They're not obedient at all. They're disobedient to the word. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when you were little in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord your God in Gilgal. Now listen to this. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I'll read it again. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. This is very important. God's looking for obedience to his word. You can't reject the word of God to hold your commandments of men, the traditions of men that they have delivered to you. You can't forsake the fountain of living waters and go after a broken cistern. Men standing in his name, usurping to make merchandise of you, teaching you leavenous false doctrines. Loving the chief places of honor, loving the titles, being disobedient by being a hireling, a professional, one that does the spiritual teaching, leading the people as they build their monstrous Babylonian enterprise. Repent, be zealous and repent, and return to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sit at his feet, hear his instruction, and obey his word. That's where the blessing of the Lord is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we have this admonition. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? I would consider this carefully, Omega churchgoers. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Now notice what God says. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.